Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Tony Presley.
I feel really good this morning. Normally I'm sort of looking at the clock thinking, I've not got enough time, I'm out of time, I can't fit it all in. And I'm thinking, this morning I'm pretty chilled. I'm just thinking, what God wants me to say, I'll say. So that's really good. I'm feeling really great. I've never felt like this before. It's brilliant. I was just reading John 13 in the middle of the worship where John just lays back on Jesus. And he's laid back, and I thought, yeah, that's what I need right now. I just need to be laid back. That's wonderful. I'm glad Martin gave that testimony, because I'd like to give a testimony if I could. You know, excuse me, have you got those words, you know, for the offering words? Can you whack them up for me? Thank you. Oh, well, they are. Oh. Oh, right, okay. Next one. Okay, so I really feel like I've got to give this testimony because God has really blessed us in the last week or so. Probably in the last year or two, this is the worst we've been financially with money coming in. But we trust God and we sow into the kingdom, so we just say, well, God always comes through. So, okay. Well, this week, Lynn got promotion at work and a rise. And I've got Lynn's job. And guess who's training me? He's been training me for 20 years. Then, through the post this week, I get a check. I sold my car, traded it in, and they let me cash my tax in on the car. They never let you do that. And I got a check through the post from the DVLA for the return of my money for my road tax. I'm thinking, a check? Brilliant. Now, for those that I've told this story, I don't want to bore you, but I used to have two leather sofas, four recliners, and they were my pride and joy. I used to get up in the morning and just worship them. But I just loved these couches. They were really comfortable. They were dark brown leather, and they were wonderful. Well, before we moved back to Scarborough, we were going to move to another place, and we couldn't fit them in, so my son had them. But we didn't go where we were going. We came back here, big living room, no couches. So I've sort of been crying for the last year. So I got one chair, not comfortable. I got another chair. I said, Lynn, I'm sick of this. I can't get comfortable. It's just terrible. Lynn, you might think it's nothing, but to me, I like to be comfortable when I'm comfortable. And I went down the auction last week, and there was a reclining leather chair, dark brown in there. And it said 50 to 100 quid. So I was working on the Saturday, but Lynn went down the auction, and she phoned me about half two and said, I've got it. It was supposed to be 50 to 100 pounds. She said, I've got it, 40 quid.
Brilliant.
40 pounds. I'm thinking, Lord, you must love me so much. So we've had four testimonies in the last week. And I'm saying to Lynn, you know, God always comes through. We normally have to work for it, but God normally comes through. And Lynn says, well, I've just done the figures for the last year, what we gave, what we gifted, and what we blessed people with. She said, and do you know it was 29% of our total income? And I said, oh dear, well, you just can't outgive God, can you? I wish it was 49%. But 29% when God really only asked us for 10. I'm thinking, wow. So God is a God that if you sow, expect to reap. Amen. Jimmy will like this. The fields are ripe to harvest. Yes, yeah?
Right.
When you sow, see, a bag of seed is pretty boring. But once you see that harvest come up, oh man, it's wonderful. So I just want to encourage you with that, because if you've been financially struggling or you've not seen God come through, he always comes through. And we've seen this in the past. You know, when we moved to the States, we were on $150,000 a year before we went. When I first went there, because money was tight in this new church, I was on $800 a month. So less than $10,000 a year from £150,000 a year. So what do? Lynn went out and started her own business cleaning houses. She cleaned two houses a day so that we could minister in America. All right, it didn't stay like that, but we were willing to go out and do something. You know, don't say God's not blessing me if you're sitting on your hands and not doing anything. You know, Jesus chose 12 men. They were all workers. And I just know that God loves workers. He's, you know, people are not afraid to work. Kate's looking at me weird. I want to say something. What is your purpose? You're here today. What is your purpose? It's gone quiet. Let me tell you what your purpose is. Your purpose is to find the purpose of God in your life. End of story. And everybody's different. Every gift is different. But we've all got a purpose. We've all got a purpose. And God wants to use every one of us. Don't sit there and say, oh, I couldn't do anything. And I couldn't preach. Well, you might not have to preach, but you're brilliant at the door, or you're brilliant at making the tea, or you're brilliant at doing something else. Not everybody's got to preach. See, what everybody wants to be in the pulpit. They don't realise the cost to get there. Is that right, Pastor? Okay. Now, I'm not going to get distracted by the clock today. I'm not worried. I'm going to get through what I'm going to get through. But I want to talk about something today I've never heard before. If you've got your Bibles, will you turn to Jeremiah 32? One thing I want to say about the young people from Roffey, are they all in? Is James is out? Oh, that's a shame. I don't like calling them students. To me, they're men and women of God. And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men. And a disciple is one who is willing to learn. And they've brought something to us. They're going to take some stuff back, but they've brought something to us. And I'm not going to call them students. I'm going to call them men and women of God. Okay. Don't mind that, do you? Okay. Jeremiah 32, verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So when you hear that, you listen, don't you? In the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, the army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was confined to the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. Zedekiah the king of Judah had imprisoned him, saying, why do you prophesy as you do? But I don't like that prophecy. I like a good prophecy. Don't you give me a bad prophecy. I've done it before. It's not nice, but give me a good prophecy. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be good. And I'm going to have a ministry. And everything's going to be wonderful. But no, Jeremiah is telling him, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to hand this city over to the king of Babylon, and he will capture it. Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hands of Babylonians, but will certainly be handed over to the king of Babylon, and will speak with him face to face and see him with his own eyes. He will take Zedekiah to Babylon, where he will remain until I deal with him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you will not succeed. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, Hanamel, son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because its nearest relative, your right and duty to buy it. Then just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, buy my field. Now they're just going into captivity to the Babylonians. So his uncle, pretty shrewd, I'll sell my field quick before we get out. You know, I'll get some money. I'm going to sell my field because it won't be any good to me because we're in captivity. They'll be taking us off to Babylonia. So he's pretty shrewd, the uncle. Bit of Jacob in him. Then just as the Lord commanded, my cousin came to me in the courtyard of the guard, buy my field and possess it for yourself. I knew that this was the word of the Lord. See, this is it. I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Pretty stupid thing to do. And sometimes God asks us to do pretty stupid things. So we think. You think, God, why did you ask me to do that? But he knew it was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from my cousin, weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed and had it witnessed and weighed out in the silver on the scales. I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy, and I gave this deed to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, and of the witnesses who had signed the deed, and all of the Jews sitting in the courtyard. In their presence, I gave Baruch these instructions. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Take these documents, both sealed and unsealed, copies of the deed of purchase, and put them in a clay jar so they will last a long time. Oh, no, he's not going on to jars again. Martin's forbidden me, because if I throw a jar again, he said he's going to get injured. So I have got a thing about jars, I must admit, because are we not called jars of clay and treasures in jars of clay? Yeah? Yeah, I've got a thing about clay jars. For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land. After I'd given the deed of purchase to Barak, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord. Verse 42 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, as I have brought all this great calamity on this people, so I will give them all the prosperity I have promised them. Once more, fields will be bought in this land of which you say it's a desolate waste. You know, sometimes in the church we sort of say that this land is a bit of a desolate waste, and there's not many churches doing this, and who's doing something, and churches are small, and we don't affect the neighbourhoods that we live in, and well, this is not going to be here. I want to tell you this morning that we are the fields. You say, well, a lot of you scholars in here want chapter and verse on this, so I'll give it to you. But I'm looking at this, that there was a deed of purchase, a legal document witnessed the transfer of property and placed in a clay jar. Now, I've got my deed of purchase here. This is my deed of purchase. Because I was purchased at a price. I'm going to open it in a minute. When you look at chapter 33, just further down the page, you'll see the heading says, Promise of Restoration. See, I spoke last time about restoration. And it wasn't about restoring us. We've already been restored. But it was restoring the church, the tabernacle of David, restoring it to what it should be. Getting back to what God is, a big God. Not God is some swear word. And Jesus Christ is some word they say in films all the time. But no, God is a big God. He's a majestic God. We've been singing about him all morning. He is awesome. But we are the field. See, we say, Jimmy, the fields are ripe to harvest. And we think of, you know, going and getting souls and stuff. Hang on a minute. This field is ripe for harvest. This field. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Because I want to prove to you, because you're going to say, where does he get that from? 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. The temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're God's field. And we've been looking at all this stuff about fields out there with harvests coming up. And hang on a minute. If this field gets a harvest coming up, guess what happens? It overflows. The barns are full. The vats are full. The grapes are big. You know, God gave me a word in the Thursday night meeting the other week. And he says, I want to pour out new wine. I'm longing to pour out new wine. But I need new wineskins. If I put them in old wineskins, they break. Now, apparently, I've studied this. And you can get old wineskins. And you can rub them with oil for a length of time. And they become newish. And then they don't break. And I'm thinking, yes, some of us are sort of oldish. And guess what you need? Get the oil, get the anointing, get the Holy Ghost around you. And then the old wineskin will not break when God is going to pour in the new wine. But where are the grapes going to grow? In here. I'm God's field. Hang on a sec, this is different. Because I've never heard this before. I don't know if anybody else has, but this deed of purchase, this transfer of property, was put in the clay jar for safety for a time. It said for a time in the future. I think it's time to get out our deeds of purchase. I think it's time to get them out and flash them around. But I want to read something else first. If we're the field, if we're the jar is not empty. And I want to go to 2 Kings 4. I love this. See, I think it's time to empty the jar. The jars are full. Our fields are full of rocks and weeds and stubble. And God said, I want to bring up a good crop. So you're going to get rid of the rocks, like the little rocks in there that, oh, well, you know, that person upset me 17 years ago. I can forgive them, but I can't forget it. Well, you never forgave them then. And there's rocks in there, and there's weeds in there. And it talks about where the weeds... Jesus told a parable where he said the kingdom of heaven is like a field. And he said, but the weeds grew up with the wheat, and they all grew together. But then they get taken out, and they get burned. And I'm thinking that it's time that we emptied the jar, and we cleaned up the field. Now, 2 Kings 4 says this. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant my husband is dead, and you know that he revered God. But now his creditor is coming, take my two boys as his slaves. You know, the church has been enslaved for years. It's been enslaved with, we've always done it this way. Tradition. The traditions of the elders. The church has been in bondage for years. The church is coming out of bondage. The church is going to shake off all this bondage stuff. We're going to have a great time before God, and we're going to see the kingdom of God grow. Why? Because we're going to clean our field up. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house. The servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. All you need is a little oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Empty jars. Empty jars. We're jars. It's time they were emptied. It's time that they were emptied so that they can be filled. She said to her, then pour the oil into all the jars, and each one is filled. Put it to one side. And she shut the door behind her and her sons, did it in private. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring and pouring and pouring till all the jars were full. See, God's wanting to fill our jar with oil. He's saying, you know, you talk to me and you talk to Jesus, but you never talk to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Spirit is God, and he's a person. And I've got to repent. I've been repenting to God, saying, I don't talk to the Holy Spirit enough. I talk to God, the Father, love Jesus. Oh, Father, God, sir, daddy. But I sometimes leave the Holy Ghost out of it, and it's the oil, the Holy Ghost, the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And we can do all things in our own strength, but it's time that the jar was empty. Nothing left of me. Don't want anything left of me. I want the jar to be filled with the anointing. So I'm going to get out my deed of purchase. A few drops of blood on it. Deed of purchase. Tony Presley was purchased at a special price, paid in full by God. Price paid? Jesus' death on the cross. If you're here this morning and you love God and you've asked God into your life, you've got a deed of purchase. But it's got to come out of the jar. If you're here this morning and you've never asked God into your life, please don't leave until you do. We'll talk to you. People will be down the front. We want to lead you to Christ because you want a deed of purchase. Witnessed by God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dated and signed by me, sealed, and there's blood. Sealed in blood. I had to cut my finger to do that. No, I didn't really. Lynn said, do your throat. But I'm getting this out of the jar. I'm going to have this framed, and I'm going to put it on my wall in my house. Because I'm proud of that. Because I was purchased at a great, expensive price. Jesus died on a cross. And you know, King James 1611 wrote this Bible, and he watered it down somewhat, because when you read the Hebrew of how Jesus was crucified, it is horrendous. It is an execution. And they say that the cross was lower than what we believe, and people used to go by and just rip lumps of his beard out and do things to him absolutely horrendous, which he did to purchase us. And I'm thinking, Lord, you did that for me? I'm not worth it. He says, yes, you are. Yes, you are. If it had only been you, I'd have come. I think that's awesome. It's time to empty the jars. Take out the deed of purchase. Show who owns your field. There's who owns my field. I'm completely purchased, full price, and he's got it all. Because perhaps over the years, I haven't given him all. But he purchased my whole field. But very often we say, well, you know, I'm not giving you that bit because I like this bit. Oh, Lord, take this away from me, but I like it. Take it away, Lord, but I like it. And sometimes we don't give him the whole field. And I'm determined from here on in, I've changed in the last couple of weeks. And I just feel, God, it's all yours. It's all yours. And if there's anything to me, Lord, It's not good enough. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, will you? First Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Thinking, man. And then, and if you just flick over to 7 and 23, it says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. What do? We become slaves of men. Men have sort of been saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. What's God said? God said, I gave you freedom. Freedom. Not freedom to sin, but I don't want you to be in bondage. I don't want you to have a yoke of slavery anymore. I want your field to produce big grapes and new wine. Because we want the people out there to see our field. We want the people to see that we've got some grapes growing in our field. You can see something of God in that person. If you look at that scripture where it said the field is ripe to harvest, got this strange feeling that God is going to call on people to start harvesting their field. It's all right coming to church on a Sunday. It's all right doing little things for people. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. Go into more scriptures than I normally do, but 1 Peter 2 and 9 says this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. See, you don't belong to you, and I don't belong to me. We belong to God. He purchased us with a price. Sorry, you don't go and purchase something, and it's not yours, do you? Now, if you're on the internet and you go purchase something on the internet and you put all your details in and you purchase it and you pay your price with your credit card over the internet, don't you? Have you got that thing? No, you haven't. It's not been delivered yet. And see, we've got all this stuff that God's given us. He's not giving you everything. But we're waiting for the Holy Spirit to deliver it. But unless we sort of have got this relationship with the Holy Ghost, he ain't going to be delivered. Yes, he purchased it. It's great, but hang on. What am I doing with it? Am I using what I've purchased and what God purchased in us? You know, I was just thinking about that thing, about buying something on the internet. We ordered something on the internet the other week, and it didn't come. And it took about a week, and I'm thinking, wow. Then I thought, hang on a second. God has given us everything that we need, but we're not using it all. So has it been delivered? Well, it's not his fault. It's our fault. We haven't received it. You know, we had a thing in the post, didn't we, the other day, where a parcel had been delivered, but we weren't in. And they took it back to the sorting office. How about that? Got to be in to get the delivery. Belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. 1 Peter 1 and 24 says this. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So all men are like grass. Grass growing in our field. We're the field of God. And God's wanting to do some work on our field. But he's saying, hang on a sec. I said in the word, the bride has made herself ready. But we're saying, God, do this. And God, do this. And God, do this. And God says, hang on a sec. I've given you everything. You do it. What do you think you are? And what do you think I am? Well, God, you're a 999 God. No, I don't think so. Now, God's longing to help us. Looking at Nigel with your little lad this morning, you know, he's there and he's worshipping and stuff. But, you know, if he needs anything and it's urgent, bang, you're on. And that's how God is. But if it's not urgent and it's just a whim, like a leather chair or something, You know, that was of God, I tell you. The harvest is wonderful, but the harvest starts in here. We've got to be harvested. In Joel 1 and 10, don't turn there, but it says that the fields were ruined by stones and weeds, and they all got ruined. And it's just like the church has been listening to the wrong people. It's been listening, well, you can't do that. You won't see any miracles. You won't see any people saved. And you're not going to get a building. And, you know, you won't get this and you won't get that. And God says, oh, really? Start listening to the right people. Start listening to me. See, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And when you've got that bridegroom-bride relationship, like Jeremiah, he bought a field when it was stupid. Because he knew later on, when they came back from captivity, the land's going to be worth something. God said, fields will sell again. And I'm telling you, we see many revivals in this nation, and there's going to be more than that. There's going to be restoration. It's going to be more than falling on the floor. It's going to be people healed when you talk to them in the street. It's going to be people come and say, what must I do to have what you've got? Your field looks brilliant. There's no weeds in it. There's no rocks in it. Fruit, grapes are coming up. It's wonderful. What must I do? See, I don't want to go to church and just play. I want to go to church and see people's lives changed. I want to see people coming out for healing and them get healed. Why? Because God wants that as well. Otherwise, why would He send Jesus to show us it could be? And I'm thinking, man, the people in the world, normally the ones who get healed. You know, people called out to Jesus. Jesus! They weren't any of His followers, but they got healed. We want to see people healed. You start to see a few people healed, you'll be keeping them out. They'll be queuing up down the stairs and down the road. We've got to see it. We've got to see it. In Matthew 7 and 16, it talks about the good fruit. Good fruit. We don't want bad fruit. We want good fruit. We want big fruit. We want to see fish. Big fish coming into the net. We've got to see this, because if we don't, then we're just playing church. I know Pastor Paul don't want to play church. I know this man's been sent here for a reason. And sometimes it's not comfortable. But it never is if you're going to do anything for God. It's not comfortable. I don't think Jeremiah was very comfortable. He was in prison because he prophesied the wrong thing to the king. I don't like your prophecies. Sorry, you're a false prophet. I've heard that before. I don't think you can be a false prophet. I think you can be a wrong prophet. But a wrong prophet's not a false prophet. We can all get it wrong. Quite right. How do you feel this morning about taking your deed of purchase out? Your purchase deed to show that you are purchased by God. The price has been paid in full. Everything's been paid in blood. You know, in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed, they had to sacrifice and have blood on the altar. There had to be blood. There had to be a blood sacrifice. You know, we're very fortunate. We don't have to do all that stuff and do all these things that they did in the Old Testament. All we have to do is say, the price was paid in full, and I'm going to flash it around because I know who I belong to. I know the price was paid in full. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else He's got to give me because I got it all. Amen. All I got to do is put it into practice. Oh, that's tough. How do I do that? Does that mean I've got to get up and pray at 4 every morning? No. Because I've heard people talk about, well, I've not prayed today, so. Well, I've not read the Bible today, so. You know, you read and you pray when your heart's desire is to read and pray. If I went home at night and said, Lynn, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Or I walk in the door and she says, I love you. Which is better? God only wants us to do what we want to do in our hearts. But how are we going to get these stones out of our field? How are we going to get the thorns and the bushes and the weeds out of our field? All these things that have kept us down for years, and all these little things that we've never let go of, and all these grudges that we've held. And well, you don't know what I've been through. I said this before, but yeah, if I've been through something, I've been through it. I'm out the other side. Same with you. If you've been through something, guess what? You've been through it. And he brought you out the other side. Get out the deeds, empty the jars. You know, the more jars that lady got with the prophet, the more oil. And the more empty our jar becomes, our field becomes. And I believe if you plough your field and it's completely clean, and then you sow the seed, but if it's full of rocks, because that's what they did in the Old Testament, they used to throw rocks on their fields so they couldn't plough them. But let's get rid of these rocks. You know, when Joshua crossed over, he took 12 stones out of that river and he put them up as a monument. Get the stones out of our life and pile them up as a monument. I was there, but now I'm here. I was there. I used to carry that. I'm not carrying it anymore because my field is going to be ready for harvest. We're going to see people harvest into the kingdom in this area, in this town, and we're going to see God move in a mighty way. You know why? We got some people here who are willing to say, I am empty. I'm empty. Guess what, Lord? When I'm empty, you fill me. You fill me. And that's what he does. But if you've still got junk in there, God's not going to pour in if you've got a load of junk still in there. You've got all these things that cause problems. We've all been there. We've all had them. But I tell you, I've changed in about the last 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. I'm feeling really, really comfortable. I'm feeling really good in you. Because I realized, I can't do much. But when I'm in his hand, wow, this is a different story. When we did the men's prayer summit that weekend, I talked to the guys about the sons of Issachar. I don't know if you've heard about those. If you haven't, study it. And if you look in the Word, study the Word and look at fields. Just look at, I've never seen so many references in the Bible to fields. Just look at fields and you'll start to get some idea of, might have been a little bit important. And I talked about the sons of Issachar because these were men who, under men and women, who, because if you're a son, you're a man or a woman, it makes a difference. Men who understood the times. Do you know what times we're in? Do you know what God really wants to do? Do you know what he's doing right now? Well, no, I come to church on a Sunday. Worship's good, and Pastor Paul preaches good, and then we have a nice cup of tea and coffee, and then we go home. Well, if that's all it is, I'd rather go down to Con Club. Sorry, I don't want to do that. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I used to go to church 7 days a week. So I do miss a few meetings. But when I talked to you about my testimony about getting a job, I forgot to tell you this. This is really important, I think. I said to Lynn, I'm really going to miss going to the prayer meeting on a Tuesday morning and a Thursday morning. But the job is full time. I said, I really enjoy going to these prayer meetings. I give something and I get something. And I like it. And I said, Lynn, I'm going to ask Sue, that's the manager, if I can go to the prayer meetings on a Tuesday and Thursday. She said, no, don't. No, she won't let you. No, Sue. No, she won't let you. I said, well, I've got to say this, Lynn. If she doesn't let me, I'm not taking the job. And I said to God, I got up that morning. I waited on God for a few hours because I had an appointment to see this manager. And I said, God, if you don't touch her heart and she says I can't do it, then I'm going to have to turn the job down and upset my wife. But Lord, you know, these prayer meetings are important to me. So I went in, saw Sue, and I said, Sue, you know, church. And I go to these prayer meetings on a Tuesday and a Thursday between 9 and 10. It's over at Lamplugh. It'd take me half an hour to get back, half 10. So she goes, oh. She said, well, twice. That's only 3 hours in a week, isn't it? I said, yeah. She said, well, that's not a problem. We'll take 3 hours off you. Or if you want to catch up on something on a Saturday morning or do, yeah, that's no problem. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you know, I'm thinking, God, this was awesome, because I'm saying to God, I said, I'm going to turn the job down if you don't let me do it. And I'm thinking, that's why God sometimes sows into you. That's why God pours into you a little bit. It's not because aren't I a good church goer? No, I get something out of those meetings. And I really enjoy those meetings. And we really meet with God, don't we? We have some great times. And these guys who have come up from Rothy, they've been brilliant in these prayer meetings. You know, we could go to sleep a little bit and they could sort of take over. You know, it's been really, really good. So I enjoy those. So Sue said, yeah, okay, Well, don't tell anybody else. Because everybody will want to do it. Yeah, they can come to the prayer meeting. I just throw that in, because being a son of Issachar means you understand the times that we're in. And I'm not going to go into it, but I just want to show you one thing. In Genesis 49, Jacob prophesies over his 12 sons. One of them is called Issachar. And he didn't just prophesy to Issachar, he prophesied to every generation coming out of him. And that's us. And he said, it says in the word, he said, Issachar was like a raw-boned donkey. And see, he was raw-boned because he'd got rid of all himself. He'd got rid of all his soulishness. He'd got rid of all his flesh. And he was just raw-boned because he knew God. And he had a personal relationship with God. He understood what God wanted. How can you understand the times if you've not got a personal relationship with God? See, if you're really close with God, you understand what he's saying and you know what he's wanting to do. You know, this raw-boned donkey realized that he knew. Well, to know in the Hebrew was yada, I think it's Y-A-D-A, which means to know. But you don't know from reading a book. You know from talking to the author. And it was that type of relationship. So these sons of Issachar, which God is looking for, to understand the times that we're in. Now, how are we going to handle it? Yes, we have got recession. But, you know, God's been blessing me abundantly in the last week. I wonder why. God's been blessing you. Wonder why. Why? Do you deserve that? We're in the times, but you've got to know what times we're in. We're not in times of going to church. We're in times of being the church. And I tell you, you know, we've got a good relationship in this town with the council and stuff. And Pastor Paul is like, he's like the head church man in town. Is that right? Well, sort of, yeah. The reputation we've got is like unusual. It's not usual in towns. And for churches to come together like they have in Scarborough is unusual. Because normally they're sort of, well, I don't want you to get bigger than me. But they've been praying for us to get a building. And I'm thinking, man, this is something's going on in Scarborough. And you know what's going on? It's God. Issachar men and women receive understanding from the Lord himself because they know God in an intimate manner. And they're able to perceive and receive success and wealth in this time. We need money. We need cash. Because if you're going to do anything in the kingdom, especially in the UK, you need money. And where does the money come from? God's people. I've said enough. I don't want to say anything. I just want us to realize that we've been purchased with a price. God paid it all. It didn't cost us anything, but the upkeep of it's going to cost us everything. Does that make sense? You know, salvation is free, but the upkeep of it is going to cost everything we've got. And unless you're a person that gives it all, really, see, I'm strange. I'm an all or nothing person. And if I haven't got it all, to me, I don't want anything. You might think that's weird, but I can't do half-baked. I can't do a bit. And God's looking for people like that, that understand the times, that are willing to empty themselves so that he can fill us. Because he's looking for people that he can fill and pour more oil in, more anointing. And if you're here today and you say, well, God's just pricked a few things in your life where there are a couple of rocks, there are a few weeds. Pretty simple. All you got to do is just say, God, you know, I need to get rid of these. And God, I'm going to wave my deed of purchase around. Make yourself a deed of purchase. I'm just going to wave this around. Say, look, this is who I am. I've been bought with a price, and it's out of the jar. It's out of the jar. I'm not going to smash the jar. You're all right, but I just took this out of the jar. It's like letting the cat out of the bag. That makes sense. I know it's not a Bible saying, but I think I've let the cat out of the bag. I think I've waved about in the air who I belong to. So there's no There's no no misunderstandings. I was bought with a price. Now, I'm going to pray in a second, but were you bought with a price? He paid the full price. Did you give him full value? How are you giving him full value for money or for blood? You know, when I was making that, I got drops of blood on that. I thought, oh, God, I could just see the blood of Jesus just dropping and for me. And it's like heartbreaking that he would do that for us. Do you think we're giving him full value? Man. And I'm just asking us all a question, because I've been asking it of me in the last few weeks. Am I giving God full value? Well, I don't think I was. But now I am. Because I've realised I'm coming out. The deed of purchase is out. Just close your eyes for a second, would you? Father, we realise it's an honour and a privilege to speak any of your words, and to be purchased by you is an absolute honour, a privilege. God, it's so wonderful that we never deserved it, but you did it for us. How dare we not be the type of field that you want to sow into, that grapes and fruit and all the produce is going to grow, and it's going to grow good soil, good grapes, good fruit, Father God. We realize this morning, Lord, that you are wanting to do something in this town. And we ask you that the Holy Spirit would be present with us every time we meet, would be present with us every time we pray, present with us all the time, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm giving you one just like me. Holy Spirit, I want to tell you this morning that I love you. And that I'm really honored that I've got access to you, that you are the teacher, you are the comforter. We realize we haven't got to do it on our own, Lord, that you want to fill this jar and you want to sow this field. So, Lord, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to God, this is an opportunity for you to come into this kingdom. And to be purchased by the blood of Christ. And I'm not gonna dwell on this, but if you want to do that, I want you just to raise your hand and just acknowledge that you want to be a child of God. And you don't understand it all, you don't know what it's all about, but you really want to be in this family of God. Just for a couple of minutes, just slip your hand up and take it down again, and then you're not telling me, you're telling God. God, I want to respond to you. You know, when I got saved and the man preached the gospel, I couldn't put my hand up. It was like my hand was handcuffed to the chair. I couldn't do it. But I spoke to the pastor afterwards, and he came around my house, and that was it. It's all over. So if you're here today and you're feeling like you want to put your hand up and you can't, that's fine. Just come and talk to one of us at the end of the meeting. So, Lord, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We honor you. And we thank you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.